Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and hey, I am just glad to be here. I was just preparing for the show early this morning, and as always, you know, when you're dealing with machines, the internet, phones, and computers, and that, you're running into technical difficulties, but I tell you what, we got it all sorted out, and we are here, and we are live on the Extra Points Radio Show. So welcome to each and every one of you, especially those who come out and listen every week. We appreciate you. April's in full bloom, and I just got to say, when I say I'm glad to be here, just had a birthday, great birthday this past Monday, just a great day. A good weather day for me. So although allergies, pollen was high, but just want to thank the millions and millions who definitely reached out, Facebook, Twitter, cell phone, text message, email, and of course the old school pick up the phone and call. Just want to thank each and every one of you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate it. So March and the madness is all over. Time for a new season and a new shift in the business of sports, and we got a full show today. Of course, you know football never stops, so we got a guest today who's a friend and just an all-around great guy, one of the good guys, Coach Keita Malloy, new head football coach at Bishop McNamara High School, so looking forward to having Coach Malloy in, as well as Super Referee Craig Muckle, as we wind down March Madness and shift over to the NBA and the NBA playoffs. Of course, we've got our two-minute drill, predictions, and, of course, how does our show always start? With our pay attention topic. I got so many topics that I could go over. First of all, first weekend in April, so you know what that means. It's Masters. And right now, if you look at the leaderboard, there's a guy named Ricky Fowler, who many of you may or may not know. But Ricky Fowler is kind of like this young millennial guy. He wears really bright orange clothes from head to toe, orange shoes, orange pants, orange shirt, orange hat. He's sponsored by Puma, which I didn't even know was still in business. He wears his hair kind of weird. He's worn a spike mohawk at one point. He's got a legion of fans. If you go on his Facebook, he's got millions of fans. This guy is, you know, he's on top of the leaderboard right now. It would be really, really interesting for golf if he won. I think with the loss of Tiger due to injury and that, he could bring a new, fresh face to golf and make it really cool, because right now it's not. So I could talk about Ricky Fowler for 15 minutes, but I'm not. I'd rather watch it while I'm doing the show. So another thing that could be a topic. You know, without a general manager, the Washington Redskins are still cutting deals. This team just keeps moving along. I think they got their safety spot squared away. They got Swearinger from the Arizona Cardinals. I think he's going to come right in and start. And then Sua Cravens. Sua Cravens had some splash time last year, did a real nice job for the Redskins. I think they're set at safety now. They went out and got Zach Brown. That was quiet during the week this week. But Zach Brown, you know, if you don't know who he is, he was the Buffalo Bills' best linebacker. and he really shores up. If the Skins draft Reuben Foster from Alabama, Roll Tide, put him in the middle, and I know some people won't like that because they like Will Compton, and Will Compton's a nice player, but he ain't no Reuben Foster. They go with that, and then they got Kerrigan. And if Junior Gallette could not tear his Achilles for the third time, all of a sudden that defense now, at least the back seven's pretty good. I think they still got to do some work on the down line. Of course, losing Swaggy Baker, that'll hurt them. But they got two guys in free agency, Terrell McLean and Stacy McGee, who Coach Gruden thinks are on the upswing in their career. I don't know about that. I never heard of these guys. So I could talk Redskins offseason for 15 minutes. Not going to do that either. How about Russ? When did we start calling Russell Westbrook Russ? I don't know when that happened. But anyway, this guy made history. He's averaging a triple-double for the season. So that's triple. Rebounds, points, and assists. He's averaging double figures. That hasn't been done since Oscar Robinson. And by the way, he did it 41 times this year out of 82 games, which is also tied Oscar Robinson. So this is a remarkable feat. He should definitely be the MVP. I don't know why we're waiting around for that. Go ahead and crown him. The holdup is his team's terrible. So, you know, even though they lost Kevin Durant and everyone knew they were going to be terrible, this guy single-handedly put them on their back. So I think he's the MVP. I think he locked it up last night. I could talk about him for 15 minutes. Not going to do that either. Let's go to the real pay attention topic. I think it's going to surprise everyone. I'll give you a hint. It's where I was last night. Let's go, Valor. The Washington Valor. For those of you that don't know, I mean, this is a PAT, pay attention topic. If you don't know, you need to pay attention. DC's got a new football team, the Washington Valor. They play in the Arena Football League. They play at the Verizon Center, which, by the way, I was surprised. I mean, I've gone to some Wizards games when, like, the Sacramento Kings are in town. And there are echoes in the Verizon Center. Not last night. It was not only was every seat filled, but in arena football towards the north end zone, you can just stand there and drink beer. Yeah, this is an interesting little thing on football here. So the team's owned by Ted Leonsis and Monumental Sports. Yes, the same guy that owns the Wizards and the Mystics and the Caps and the Stadium. So as if he needs another team to make more money. So it was pretty interesting. I kind of, you know, I know the history of arena football here in D.C. Back in 1990, the Washington Commandos started in the Arena Football League, and they were not very good. They ended up moving out to Maryland, actually to Upper Marlboro, where I used to go out to all their games, and they were the Maryland Commandos. And then they moved over to George Mason and were the Virginia Commandos. And then, of course, they exploded and blew up and no longer in business. Then Daniel Snyder was starting a rumor about he was going to have a team called the Washington Warriors. Little known history fact, though, there's another Washington Warriors team out there, which yours truly, Coach Howard, ended up coaching. It's a semi-pro football team, and they argued that they had the name first. And after much legal wrangling, Dan Snyder said, forget about it. I'm not going to argue over it. And so he gave a pass. And so that team never got off the ground. So here we are with the Valor. And the Valor played last night, the Baltimore Brigade. So there's always this D.C.-Baltimore rivalry. I mean, in the women's game, in tackle football, it's a huge rivalry, whether it's Divas Nighthawks, Prodigy Nighthawks, and even in the NFL. You know, Skins Ravens, and they play in the preseason. It's a big rivalry game, sold out. So I thought it was interesting to see, you know, the Baltimore Brigade, they were real fired up. Now, here's what many in the audience didn't know last night. Watch this. Ted Leonsis, who owns the Valor, also owned the opponent, the Baltimore Brigade. That's right. So the way arena is kind of set up, they don't you can't fail. It's like a can't fail league. I wish I could afford a team. You just can't fail. So they make sure that owners you know, A, got a ton of money, and B, won't fail. So Leontes was genius. He goes, well, let me buy an arena team in Baltimore so I'll always have a rival. So he's win-win. So it's really an interesting concept. Now, what I liked was it's interesting because the coaches are right on the field with the players. I mean, they're right there. Coach Kokonis, who we got to have here on the show, he's been coaching arena football since 2003. He's got a record of 71-64-1 and won Arena Cup to his credit in 2013. So I think the team's in good hands coaching-wise. Not a bad night ticket sale-wise. Tickets start as low as $10. I'm going to guess those are those end zone stand-up people who are paying more for their beer than they are for their ticket. I'm going to start there. But tickets can go all the way up to $50, which I had no idea. So I don't want to say it's a cheap night out, but it's an affordable night out. Of course, the field is only 50 yards, so it's really, really tight. It's really close. They wear full equipment. You know, it's full football. It's 7-on-7. The marketing and the energy was fantastic, and I say fantastic because it was all about the fans at halftime. Of DC's own DJ Koo. That's right. That DJ Koo was clearing his throat at halftime with his rendition of Let Me Clear My Throat. So that got the crowd all in a frenzy. And then, of course, the team won the game. So they had a couple things going on. If the opponent scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter and missed the extra point, so they actually said the extra point is up and no good, which I never hear that. Then everyone in the audience gets a free chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A. How good is that? I mean, that's pretty good. So, and then if the Valor scores 50 points or more, then your Papa John's pizza is 50% off. So, I mean, the marketing's great on this thing. So it's pretty cool. And you know what? The guys, I mean, most of them, you know, they're hanging on to a dream of, you know, making it to the Canadian Football League because they're undersized and they're a step slower than the NFL guys. But, hey, Kurt Warner made it. He made it all the way to the NFL Hall of Fame. And he used to play for the Iowa Barnstormers of the Arena League. So, yeah, so you can tell that, hey, it's not no one's doing it for money. Now, I will say this. Money's gone up. Guys used to make, back in the day, they would make about $31,000 a year. And the league kind of changed their rules. So now what the league does, they pay you per game. So a veteran player makes about $830 a game, which is nothing to sneeze at. If you play once a week, that's nothing to sneeze at. Now the problem is there are not many games, but you know, if you play once a week, $830, that's pretty good. Rookies get $775. Quarterbacks, of course, prima donna, they get $830 plus $250 because they're a quarterback. So go figure that one. So anyway, it's a good night out. We got to have that coach on. And, hey, we got people listening all over the country. See if you got an arena team in your neighborhood. And if you do, I'd recommend you go see at least an arena game. It's a fun night out. The crashing in the walls. And, oh, by the way, here's what I like. If they throw the ball into the crowd, you get to keep the football. That's pretty cool, too, keeping the football. So anyway, hey, listen, that's our pay attention topic for today. We're going to now shift over to take a break. And after our break, we're going to have McNamara, WCAC, high school new head coach, Keita Malloy, join us and talk a little Bishop McNamara football. So let us hit the button, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Got to get money. I don't think Ted Leonsis needs any money at all. I mean, this guy's owning two arena football teams. I gotta meet him. I can tell you that he's got a great book out too. I gotta reread his book. But hey, before I reread his book, I gotta talk to one of my favorite teams. Coached there for four seasons. Loved the place. Sent both of my daughters there. Absolutely a great place, and they got a great guy and a great coach in Coach Keita Malloy. Coach Malloy, are you there?
I am here.
Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good, good. Long time no hear. Last time you and I spoke, I think you were at, what is that, the other HU they call it, or what is that, Hampton, right?
Hampton University, yes, sir, the home by the sea.
Coach, tell the listening audience, and our audience is, you know, primarily other coaches and student-athletes. I mean, that's a large part of our audience. Tell everybody, who's Coach Malloy? Because they could take my word for it that he is a great guy, but let's hear about it.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, let me interject first something a little interesting that you were talking about the Arena Football League, and I was watching the Washington Valor last night, and I was an Arena Football League player in 1994 and 96, so had a special affliction to hear you talk about that. Yeah. And Washington Valor off the coordinator. No. I was the Albany Firebirds and the Texas Terror and the Massachusetts Marauders. And ironically, Washington Valor's offensive coordinator, Steve Thon, used to be one of my coaches.
Was he at Albany?
So, yes.
Man, I know my stuff.
Small world.
Small world. Wow. Man, well, I'm going to have to get you to connect me, Coach Malloy. You got to connect me with those guys.
I wish I had that kind of pull. Maybe I could have got one of those $10 tickets last night.
I hear you. Good stuff. So we learned something already about you, that that you played arena football. I did not know that. What else? Who else is Coach Malloy? Coach, did we lose you? Coach Malloy. That looks like we lost Coach Malloy. Let's see if we can get him back. I didn't know he played arena football, though. That's pretty cool stuff. Let's see if we can get him back here again, live radio. Never know. That's what happens with cell phones and that. But, wow, it was funny because I was watching the offensive coordinator last night call the plays for the Valor. And, you know, looking at his bio, he's coached everywhere as well. And Albany is a perfect city for arena football. They don't really have any pro sports around. So they're ideal. They're prime for it. I think we got Coach Malloy back on the line. Coach, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Very good. That's all right. So we're just trying to find out who is Coach Malloy. Now, you're leaving us in suspense now. So we know you played arena football. What else?
Yes. I was just saying that, you know, I'm real humbled to come back to D.C. I've been away. I've been a college coach for the last 15 years, on and off. And to come back and leave my alma mater is a true blessing. I grew up just a regular guy. Grew up in Southeast D.C. Went to Ballou High School, transferred back to McNamara, finished up and got my degree. Was able to go to a great university, the University of Delaware, and play there for a great coach in Tubby Raymond, who kind of I try to follow his lead, and many great coaches I've been around.
Go Blue Hens.
Yes, the Blue Hens. But for me, it's all about the kids. That's what it's always been about for me. I was blessed to have an opportunity to move on. A lot of people helped me get to where I got, and I just try to give that back to the kids I come across in their lives. So I'm very humbled. I'm going to try to work hard, do the best I can. But like I said, at the end of the day, I just want to see these young men and women have an opportunity to go on and do great things.
Now, Coach, you've walked into what I consider a really tough job, and I think I can say that because I've coached there for four seasons, and like I said, I put two kids through the school. So it's my second favorite high school team other than my own high school, Crossland. But just from a recruiting standpoint, I'm at the Valor game last night, and I see Elijah Brooks, DeMatha's head coach, standing there taking pictures, getting another award, and I'm going, man, he's going to use this for some more recruiting and get some more D1 kids to come. How in the world do you compete with not only that machine, but then you got the Purple Eagles right down the street from me here in Northeast Washington, D.C.? How in the world do you compete in this league, the WCAC?
Well, personally, I want to tip my hat to Coach Brooks, Coach Travers, two people I know very well from the recruiting trail. Both have done outstanding jobs. But that's how you want it. I mean, you don't want it any other way. If you want to be the best, you got to go through the best. So I just try to be genuine. That's all I can ever try to be. I can offer the kids a great education, opportunity to learn some football, and move on to do better things in their lives. So for me, it's never been about winning at all costs. I'm more about the development of the people, and the wins will come. You know, we have a motto, you know, we're going to be disciplined, resilient, show some integrity, have a vision, and strive for excellence, so what we call drive. So I just try to, you know, connect with the parents and give them an understanding of what I can offer them and what Bishop McNamara can offer them. At the end of the day, this is a special place, and the kids that will come here are the kids that belong here, and we got to go play. And as I tell the players all the time, you can only put 11 on the field at a time. So we're going to put our best 11 out there and put their best 11, and we'll see how it goes.
Now, speaking of your best 11, I know that one of the things that helps the private school is you can go out and get players. And I know that there's this kind of AAU-ish type of brand of football that's out there now. What are your thoughts on that versus, you know, the more club environment where, you know, you grow up in your local community, you play for this club? What because it seems like, and I've had both sides on, we kind of did a three-part series on the different ways that they do things. But how does the high school coach, how are you affected by these two different factions?
Well, what I've found is, you know, I honestly feel like we need a little more regulation. I know some people won't like that, but that's okay.
I'm with you, Coach. I'm with you.
When you're talking about young teenagers or pre-teenagers, and to put the kind of pressure and the kind of things that come along with trying to just play and be a high school student is enough without all the other push from the football side of it. So, like I said, that's why I try to recruit the right kid who has the right vision of what he wants to become. I want him to experience all the things that are there to be offered, you know, whether it's a multi-sport. You know, sometimes I get, you know, everybody's in this kind of singular sports mind right now to be the next NBA guy or the next NFL guy. And I know from my experience, and I'm sure as well as you know, that's a 1% shot. So you're going to have to be an individual and a person and live your life and take care of your family one day. So I just think it's gotten a little bit out of control. But I understand it. I get it. This is my 24th year of coaching, so I'm not new to this. But there's some things I think should be put in place to kind of bring in the strings a little bit so these kids can just enjoy being kids.
Right. There you go. Amen to that. Now, let me ask you this question. So when I was at Crossland as a JV coach, I was able to recruit some kids to come with me to go to McNamara. And then when I left McNamara to become the head coach back at Crossland, I was able to recruit the kids to transfer from McNamara and come back over to Crossland with me. Now, you've got people like Wise High School out there, where they've won two state championships back-to-back. What are you – how do you – I mean, because they're going to start – you know, a parent's really got to make a decision. Do I want to go over there? They're putting out D1 kids for free. Or yes, come to Bishop McNamara and pay tuition, and I might get a scholarship. I don't know. But I know I'm going to go up against a math, which I think is a good thing for a young student athlete. How do you talk to that parent?
Well, again, you know, we have means to help families out. It's not always paying the tuition part of it. And I want to, again, interject that DeLon Parrish over at Wise High School, one of my best friends. I have a great deal of respect for Coach Parrish and what he's done for the young men over there. I recruited a lot of his kids. He does an outstanding job. He's a genuine, down-to-earth person. So, you know, again, I just think there's enough to go around for everybody. I think you have to understand that even when I was a college coach, I used to tell players all the time on the recruiting trail that you have to find what's a good fit for you. And I think sometimes kids and parents may lose sight of that. You have to figure out what's a good fit for you. Everything's not a good fit for everybody. So you have to do your research and try to find out what it is you want to get accomplished and what goals you want to reach. And if you do that, I just think, again, that it's something to go around for everybody. I went to Bishop McNamara. Again, I was fortunate. My parents found a way. And looking back on it, you know, years later, how grateful I was and the sacrifices they made for me to have a chance to go to Bishop McNamara. And I can tell you firsthand that it was a tremendous help for me in transitioning into college and the professionals and coming back and being a coach. So you just really have to do your research and understand, okay, well, how do I best fit in and what can we bring to the table as a Bishop McNamara program? What can Coach Malloy and our staff offer a young man? And I think that's a lot. I think my track record kind of proves that, and that I've gotten a lot of kids in college. I've seen them graduate. Matter of fact, I have one of my former players on my staff right now. So it's always good to see the feel-good story come back. And like I tell them, if you can come back and help somebody else, and, you know, that's what it's all about.
I told our listening audience that this guy is one of the good guys, and you can hear it in his answers that he is genuinely one of the good guys. Coach, let me ask you this. Now, you and I got another thing in common here, that we both have coached college football and we've recruited high school kids. Whose responsibility is it to get the high school student athlete financial aid and scholarship and this and that to go play college football? Is that the high school's coach's responsibility, the parents, the child's? Who does that fall on?
I think it's a village. It's absolutely a village. But from my experience, I put a lot of responsibility on myself. Every kid who comes to Bishop McNamara will receive a comprehensive plan coming into the ninth grade of what they have to do and the requirements they have to meet before they graduate in the 12th grade. So we sit down and we go through a process of what classes they'll take in the ninth, process through the 10th, and now we begin to go into the clearinghouse and eligibility center in the 11th grade. So they have all their standardized tests taken, their course load taken, so ACT, SAT, and now we can start to look at a comprehensive plan of what kind of schools that they'll fit into and what those schools have to offer and what they can bring to them. So I think that's a collective, but I put a great deal of responsibility on the coach to communicate that to parents, because parents are not necessarily have all the information that comes with moving on to the college level. So I think you as a coach, that is your responsibility. And when I was a college coach, you know, I ran into some of that where the kids may not have been as prepared as they should be. And I really do hold the coach accountable for that. And I hold myself accountable for that. So I just want to make sure that we take care of all those, crossing all those T's and dotting all those I's before they get out. So when they go into that 12th grade year, really all they have to concentrate is on finishing strong as an academic student, and then now they can concentrate really on being a great football player, and then they can move on and live those dreams that they want to follow.
Coach Keita Malloy, new head football coach, Bishop McNamara High School. Coach, I would encourage you and invite you to listen to some of our past shows. We did a three-part series on concussions. And as I watch these rosters dwindle down, a varsity team is struggling to get 30 players. Your average varsity team, I'm not talking about some of your super giants, but your average varsity team is struggling to get 30 players on a varsity roster. You know, what's your, you know, when the parent is concerned about concussions, What's your elevator speech on concussions?
I just think it goes back to teaching. I tell my players jokingly all the time, you know, I'm not great at math. I can dance okay. But one thing I can do is coach football. And
I like that.
I think the preparation of doing things the right way, paying attention to the details, has what's caused a lot of some of these injuries to come about, because we're not teaching the proper technique, we're not doing the right things to prevent these kind of head injuries. So I played the game a long time. I played in college, had a chance to move on, and I never had a concussion. But because I had great coaches, Tom Clark, who's my high school coach, is now down at BMI. I had Tubby Raymond at the University of Delaware, who won 300 games and is a Hall of Famer. These guys, I never forget, when I got to the University of Delaware, one of the first things we did was proper tackling technique. And we used to do these drills every day about where to place the head and how to fit the bag. And back then I used to, go, why are we doing this all the time? This is kind of boring and annoying. But as I look back on it, these are the kind of details and things that you have to follow that I think in some ways we've gotten away from. So it doesn't really concern me from the standpoint that we're going to have a lot of those kind of injuries, because we're going to do things the right way to prevent those things.
Well, Coach, you dropped a couple names that I'm familiar with. Coach Raymond brought in a good friend of mine, Nick Rapone, to coach DBs at Delaware. And Coach Rapone invited me to the very camp you're talking about, where I took that right back to Crossing on how to tackle safely. So, and, of course, Tom Clark brought me to Catholic University. So I already know, man, you've been around some really great guys. So that's tremendous. So, Coach, tell me now, you got the upcoming season coming up. What's the calendar look like in the day of the life of a new head football coach at Bishop McNamara, coaching in the WCAC? You're in the springtime now. What are you doing now, and then what do you do over the summer, and then the fall will be here?
As we all know, that, it never stops. I've been pretty much going 7 days a week trying to get out into the community, meet some of the youth coaches and staffs, and just trying to, make my presence felt. As far as the off-season workout, we've been going at it since I've arrived in February. We're Monday through Friday. We kind of go in, we do a weight training aspect. We'll do a install aspect where we go over the offense and defense, and we'll do some film work and conditioning, and that's pretty much ongoing. We're in testing mode right now, running 40s and doing some other things from a college standpoint. And that schedule pretty much goes up through July, and then I just completed the preseason schedule as well. We'll come into camp, it looks like, on August 6th and get prepared for a good Riverdale Baptist team. That's always a great game and a great rivalry, so we're looking forward to that. And then the summer camp schedule, we'll be going to visit some camps and universities around the country, Old Dominion, James Madison, Richmond, Virginia Tech, to name a few. So we'll try to get the kids out there, get them some exposure, and get them prepared. I'm excited. I know what this conference is. I really believe it is the best football conference in the country. That's why it's exciting to be back. Looking forward to the challenges of playing some of the best teams in the country. And like I said earlier, you wouldn't want it any other way. When I was here, I played for a championship, lost to a very good Carroll football team and a great player in Marvin Graves, and Lawrence Moten and some of those guys. And it's just an exciting feeling. So, the springtime is coming, the birds are singing. So I'm just looking forward to the challenge and getting these guys and these young men ready to play.
Well, you just dropped another name, Marvin Graves, who's been on the show twice and just a great, great football player. When he was in high school, man, he was the second coming. And then, of course, off to Syracuse he goes. So, yes. Coach Malloy, it's been great having you on. If there's anything I can do as Coach Howard and the Extra Points Radio Show to help McNamara win football games, sign me up, and definitely I'll do whatever I can to help you. You're one of the good guys. I'm pulling for you.
I appreciate it. You've always been a great friend. And like I said, you know, anything I can do, likewise, just appreciate the opportunity, like I said, and the blessings that have been placed upon me. I'm just going to try to keep on moving forward and living a good life and make my mom and dad proud, because I really do thank them for getting me where I am today, as well as all my friends and other family.
Coach, I'll leave you one tip. When I was coaching at McNamara, a little small security company that I own, by the way, had to throw that cheap plug in, bought some T-shirts, and they said two words, beat the Matha. There
one
you
thing
go.
At a time.
There you go.
One thing at a time.
There
one
we
thing
go.
At a time.
One
we,
thing
we'll
at a time.
Start with Riverdale Baptist first, and we'll go from there.
I got you, Coach. Hey, have a good one, and we'll see you down the road.
Hey, Keith, I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the good guys right there, Coach Keita Malloy. I told you, he's they got the right guy over there, and I'm excited for Bishop McNamara football, and I'll be at that McNamara Riverdale Baptist game. That's going to be a good one. So we shift gears, you know, begrudgingly, because I could talk football all day, and I didn't get my booze yet. I got to get that boo sound effect. So if you're out there and you're listening, send me a link. coach@extrapointsllc.com, a link of booze. Last night when I was at the Valor game, people were booing the kicker so that they could get their free chicken sandwich. I should have recorded that. But let me go ahead and bring him in, super referee Craig Muckle. Boo! Craig, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, I am. And thank you for the chorus of boos.
You know, it's funny because, you know, there's an old saying, when you're out on the speaker circuit, that you can hear applause when you walk on stage, right? It's the most arrogant thing I've ever heard. But a lot of speakers believe that. But it's funny how this whole boo thing, I bet you that catches fire. I got to get that sound effect, because a referee is perfect for his intro music to be a boo. Craig, so I guess we both were right. You beat this West Coast basketball thing to death all season, and you were right. Oregon was there. Gonzaga was there. You were right. But on the other hand, I beat this blue blood thing to death, and I said, hey, I'm staying with the Kentuckys, the Kansas, and the Carolinas. I don't even like any of those teams, but I'm staying with them. And we ended up with a great final. What say you on the college season and the landscape of this March Madness deal?
Well, you know, it was a very good season, and, you know, it's good when we can both be right. And I think, you know, I think of what it just showed is that the depth of talent there is at the high school level, that we have teams from, you know, both coasts representing the championship game, and the fact that, you know, West Coast basketball is kind of reemerging again as a force. It's a good thing. It was great to see, you know, aside from the Gonzaga story, and they've been there a long time, you know, now. But, you know, a team like Oregon continuing now to sustain itself with Dana Altman coaching them, that's a great thing. And, you know, even when, you know, Chris Boucher got hurt for them, here comes Jordan Bell, and, you know, really picked up the slack and helped, you know, carry them along with, Brooks to the Final Four. So I think that just talks about the depth that, you know, teams are now able to get, finding these players at the high school level, and the fact that kids maybe from all over the country, not just the West Coast, certainly Markel Fultz from here went out to Washington, you know, they can go anywhere they want to. And, you know,
well,
the West Coast
right.
now is appealing. And I think the fact that, you know, maybe some of these West Coast teams provide a different opportunity because, you know, kids may be able to help elevate a program versus sustain a program.
Right. Now, one of the West Coast teams that's staying on the West for a little bit, UCLA. Now, I could do a whole pay attention topic on this Lonzo Ball's dad or whatever, this guy. But I guess Lonzo's already gone now. Is it good for the game that, you know, should, you know, would it have been better if he had stayed and keep this dad going and talking? Or is it kind of good for the game that he goes on off to the NBA, shuts his dad up, and what, like, what's better? I didn't really follow it much, but what do you think is better for the college game?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the one and done, and, you know, I say that with the knowledge that, look, not every kid has the desire or the capacity, you know, I don't mean, you know, from a studying standpoint, I just mean, you know, maybe doesn't have, has a very good reason for wanting to move on very quickly for financial considerations of his family, to stay in college the shortest amount of time possible. I will say, though, as someone who's refereed the game a long time, that I think sometimes when kids leave college, they don't get the benefit of all the teaching that's available to them. And I think we see, certainly at the high school level and certainly at the college level, sometimes that some of the fundamentals are lacking. Because in the NBA, you know, you're going there to get coached in a different way. And there's an assumption, you know, you've got to work on the fundamentals at that point yourself.
Sure.
And I think, you know, whether it's the shooting of the free throws or, you know, the constant just dribbling of the ball, learning your honing your craft. And so, you know, at the NBA level, you not only got to hone your craft, but you got to hone your physical skills, because, you know, it's a grind. I mean, look at the guy, and just going back to the championship game for just a second, I mean, look how big those players were for both North Carolina and Gonzaga. I mean, frankly, Karnowski, I think, had a bad game because I'm forgetting the guy for South Carolina. I mean, North Carolina that was up against them. But the bottom line
Kennedy
was
Meek.
Meeks, thank you. Yeah, I was brain cramp on that. But, you know, Meeks was probably the biggest guy he played against all year. You know, all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of getting whatever space he wants, and here comes Kennedy Meeks, and he's, you know, he's probably just as strong, if not stronger than him. I mean, that's the sort of thing, you know, these guys going from the college level to NBA right away are going to get. You know, I think with 4 years of college, you sort of, you know, just by physical maturity, you're going to get stronger and that kind of stuff. But now you got to do it almost at a, you know, faster rate to get yourself ready for the next level. So I do.
Well,
you know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of it.
The two kids you mentioned, Kornowski and who Charles Barkley kept calling Karnowski, but anyway,
yeah,
him and Meek, they're as big as Gortat for the Wizards. I mean, they're huge.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go back to this kid Ball for a minute. I watched him in his last game. He looked like a 12-year-old running around out there. So I think there's a premium on consistent strength and conditioning to build your body. When LeBron left St. Mary's High School, he was a man. I mean, his shoulders and that were just as big as anybody in the NFL. But Lonzo Ball is like a kid. He's like a 12-year-old, and it showed in the NCAA. So wish him the best of luck. Glad he's gone. Hey, now shift into 2018 for a second, because I saw Patrick had his big press conference. I'm not going to take credit for telling them to hurry up and hire him, but I think somebody over there at the Hilltops listening to the Extra Points radio show, because they hired him right away. But according to 247sports.com, which put out an article the day after the championship, they're already ranking the teams for next year. It looks like Louisville will be one, you know, Carolina two. But they also did a ranking of recruiting. And Arkansas, with Coach Mike Anderson, they're number one. But I looked at the top five, Arkansas, Ohio State. You know Ohio State's not going to be down long in the Big Ten. Ain't going to happen.
Right.
Carolina, which I'm sure got a big bump by winning the championship. Louisville, because they got a Patino, so you know how they do it. And then, like, little St. Louis. So I don't see yet. I don't see Georgetown even in the top 25. You know, I see some other – I see a lot of Big Ten teams, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Rutgers, Penn State, Michigan State. Is the Big Ten – is that kind of shifting where that's going to be a force in college basketball?
I mean, look, it's all it is somewhat cyclical, but here's the thing. I mean, I think the Big Ten, by recruiting teams like, or, you know, going out and having Maryland join, you know, Rutgers, has sort of, you know, extended its tentacles. I mean, if they want to have some Eastern teams for obvious reasons. And so I think you probably, you know, not having looked at like Ohio State's recruiting class, but, you know, these conferences are doing things with a plan in mind. And he said, I mean, this is the first year in how many years that the ACC tournament was not even in the South. I mean, it was in freaking New York. Why was that? Because, you know.
Of all cities. Of all
exactly.
Places.
Right.
A lady got her head stuck in the subway doors, and they didn't even open. But anyway, I'm just saying.
I saw that.
New Yorkers
but,
listening. You saw that,
yeah,
right?
But
she probably was a Knicks
I did,
fan,
it was
by the
same.
Way. But go ahead.
Yeah,
that's probably why she put her head in the door, because she's a Knicks fan. But go ahead.
She probably was a Knicks fan, yeah. But,
that's true.
You know, so I would say that these conferences now, you know, with all the repositioning of teams and stuff like that, are just really trying to go where the basketball hotbeds are. The Big Ten tournament was right here in our backyard. Again, that was not done without a plan. Obviously, you know, Maryland's new. They're from this region. They want to throw them a bone. But, hey, there's a lot of good high school basketball here. And if you can think, you know, I can be – My parents could be connected to me if I'm local, and we might have the tournament, Big Ten tournament here, then that's an opportunity for them. But, you know, let me just say this. It's fine on paper to have a great recruiting class. At the end of the day, you got to coach them up. You got to get them playing together and that sort of thing. So, and the other thing is, too, that, you know, you may have a great recruiting class this year. Can you keep them together? Can you keep them healthy? Because, you know,
right,
there's
the one and done.
Stuff like that. Absolutely.
Academics and all this.
Yeah.
Stuff. I get it.
Yeah, there's so much so much in flux. I mean, there's so much on the coaches to do that a great recruiting class doesn't guarantee success. But that's why they're paid the big bucks to coach like they do.
That's true. Let's shift up a level to the NBA, because before we know it, the playoffs, which takes 2 months, by the way. I just don't get that one. But they'll be upon us. Yeah, I'm looking at the Western Conference here. I'm trying to figure out who's going to come out of that. And I see that a Denver Nugget team, which isn't even 500, may be the eighth seed, which is terrible. That's just terrible. So, but when I look at the top four, because I can't give Oklahoma, Clippers, Grizz, I can't give them any. It'll be Golden State, Spurs, Rockets, and Utah. This Utah team is tricky, though. Hey, I don't know anybody on the team. But they just win and win and win. I think Utah's scary, not enough to beat Golden State. But I guess my question for you is, who plays Golden State in the Western Conference Finals?
I mean, I think it's ultimately going to be the Warriors and a team from Texas, Spurs or Rockets.
Okay.
I mean,
a team from Texas. I like that.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if it was last year, I would have kind of dismissed, frankly, Houston. But I got to give it to James Harden. I was not a big James Harden fan. But I think this year he went out of his way to say, you know what, I'm going to be a more well-rounded player. I am going to pass the ball. He's up – I mean, he's – you know, if it hadn't been
but
for
Westbrook.
But
he isn't the whole team, though. But aren't the Rockets – aren't the Rockets the Thunder? Isn't he the whole team?
Well, they probably have a few more pieces than the Thunder do, to be honest with you. But, look, he gets the free throw line, so he's helping his team. I mean, he's a gunner. There's no question about it. But, yeah, I think he's trying to play some more defense this year. He's tried to be, you know, more of a facilitator this year. And so that's a good thing. Now, whether that will carry him through remains to be seen. And if they play the Spurs – you know, in the conference semifinals, that's going to be a tough out because, you know, Kawhi Leonard, probably, you know, certainly one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in the league, is going to take him on. And, you know, that will negate it. So going back to your original point, it will really be then a matchup of the other four on the floor. And I do think the Spurs have the better team. I think the Spurs have the better coach. But I think what hurts the Spurs is they're, you know, they're such a veteran team. Will they kind of have the stamina to, you know, sustain themselves? And I think really it's the stamina is the bigger question when you match them up against a team like the Warriors. Because if they got to go through Houston, that's going to be, you know, that's not going to be easy. And then you got the Warriors. I mean, and the Warriors are kind of loaded for bear now. So I love the Spurs, the way they play basketball. I would love to see them win, but at the end of the day, you know, the Warriors are just a little more youthful than they are.
Yeah, the Warriors, I think, will come out of that. I was just curious who plays them. Now, over in the East, let's just fly our airplane 3,000 miles over to D.C. and the East here. Once again, Miami can make it to the playoffs with a less than 500 record. I think that's terrible. But in the East now, I am a little concerned about teams like Chicago, who's the 7th seed, Milwaukee, who's the 6th seed, Atlanta, 5th seed, and then, of course, then the home team. Do the Wizards need to stay fourth? Do they want to squeeze in the second or third? Because they still can. I think there are 2 games left, so they could squeeze in the second, actually. Where do the Wizards need to be in order to move forward? Because if they don't move forward this year, I think people are going to be really disappointed. I'm looking for Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. So the bottom line is this. I think, and I will answer your question,
please.
I think, yeah, I mean, and that's really the issue. To get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you want to be in the 2 or 3 hole. Because basically, you just need to stay as out of the Cleveland bracket as long as you can. So just going down, you know, you got 1-8. Then if everything holds form, it would be 1-4, and then 1-2. So when you do the bracketing, so basically you got to be in the 2-3 and 5-6 group to at least, you know, avoid them at least one. If you're in the 5-6 group, you're probably going to at least avoid them. But for one round, but if you're in the 2-3 group, you don't get them until the finals. So the Wizards got to be 2 or 3. Certainly got to advance in both the rounds to get there. But I think Cleveland proved this week that it's basically them and everyone else. I mean, how does a Boston team who's got days off, with Cleveland coming to Boston, who's coming off a game the night before, how do you lose by 20-some-odd points? I mean, are you not ready to play? Yeah. And then, I mean, really? And then the next night, the Celtics go to Atlanta and, you know, again, not show up. I mean, and you're expecting to contend. And then, you know, we spent a number of weeks on here asking, oh, are the Cavs vulnerable? And I kept saying, until someone proves to me otherwise, I'm sticking with the champs. I think that was borne out this week. You know, you can hit the champ all you want until it's time to knock him out. Boston didn't even come close to, you know, knocking him out.
Well, I will say this, and the Wizards really need to be second, because if they're third, then they're going to have to play Boston, with Boston having the home court.
Correct.
And I don't think they can get past Boston, to be honest with you. But so we'll see how that plays out. They did struggle with the Knicks this week. I don't know if you got to see that game. They just defensively couldn't stop this terrible Knicks team. Don't know one guy on that team. Carmelo didn't even play in the game. Carmelo plays one game, and then he gets hurt or he's tired, or I don't get it. They need to do something with him. But they did struggle with the Knicks, but they won that game. But how bad were the Knicks? Did you see that game?
Look, I'm a Knicks fan, okay? And the Knicks have sort of become unwatchable. I have no problem acknowledging the fact, because, you know, I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, and so it is what it is. It's very disappointing. But, you know, the Knicks have sort of become unwatchable, and without Porzingis and Anthony on the floor, what's there to watch? I think that
neither one of them played.
That's my point. And
right.
So I'm going to get to that, you know, as it relates to the Wizards, that, you know, that's a game the Wizards should not only cruise through, but they need to basically just say, you know, if you're going to handle your business, it's a road game, sure, but I mean, you got to win that game by 10, 15, 20 points. I mean, and to me, that's a mentality thing. And see, that's the difference between the elite teams and the teams that want to be elite. Because, you know, if you're going to be elite, it's about not only physical preparation, but the mental preparation.
The mental
and
part, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know,
I didn't
and
see
at
that
the
other night.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, most of the teams have the physical stuff. But what separates the men from the boys is always the mental preparation. And, you know, we will go back to my, in my mind, to the best player on the planet ever, Michael Jordan. You know, it was his will, his mentality that helped him win 6 championships aside from his physical gifts.
No, you're right. You're right about that. No doubt. No question there. Hey, Craig, big weekend this weekend. People are wearing green jackets all over the place here. But that's not the most important golf tournament in town. So I got 15 seconds. Tell us all about the tournament you're working on.
Yeah, so we're about 5 weeks away from the Prince George's Chamber She Committee Golf Tournament over at Oak Creek Golf Course in Upper Marlboro. We're really looking forward to that. Once again, we're going to take some of those proceeds and help support our youth who are in the hospitality program at Prince George's Community College. And so, you know, we just want the business community and others who want to play around of golf, but more importantly, support our youth and support the business community to come out and have a great day at a great course in Prince George's County. And so we invite you to visit the website at www.pgcoc.org for all the information.
There we go. Super Referee Craig Munkle, thanks for the hoops update. Always a pleasure, and we'll see you down the road.
All right, man, thanks for having me.
Super Referee Craig Munkle, that guy knows his hoops. Goodness gracious, he knows it. Knows every roster and all this and that. That's good stuff. So, hey, quick two-minute warning here, and I want to go back to Coach Malloy. And the two-minute warning is pretty easy, which is this. You know, on Sundays I read a book, and in the book it says, you know, that there's a plan for all of us, and it's for good, not bad. And I'm going to tell you, McNamara is going to do well in football because they got a – that's why. It's not because he can't dance. It's not because he can coach football. It's because he's a good guy, and he's going to have good kids around him, and they're going to win a lot of football games. So, Coach Malloy, we appreciate having you on. Hey, our predictions for last week. First week, 3-0, brings the record, overall record, to 22-22. Take me to Vegas. That's right. So we got all three games right last week. So we're going to take a break from predictions this week, and we're going to stay at 500 for a week, and then we'll bring it back next week and kick off some baseball predictions. Hey, as always, you can reach us on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. We always need more Twitter followers at Twitter LLC. If you're looking for a speaker to engage, motivate, and inspire your team, book me at extrapointsllc.com. And speaking of book, we are going to donate 100 books to Crossland High School. They just had a recent stabbing over at the high school, and we want to share some good news with the school. And so we're going to be donating 100 books to the school. So see us on Facebook about that. And, hey, another great show. We'll have another great one next week. Talk a little baseball next week. Talk a little NBA playoffs. And and talk a little Valor. Hey, we're going to keep the Valor going. So, as always, everyone, I appreciate you listening. And the extra point is up, and it is good.
Finish moment in it.